As we say goodbye to week number seven with tonight's Monday Nighter between the Saints and Seattle, I welcome in the trophy husband, Robbie Fetcher, to tell you all about what to expect in week eight and what actually happened in week seven that we don't see in the numbers. Fetch, this is our second Monday morning together, and it seems to be popular amongst the listeners. No one else is podcasting, and we're getting the start on the week very, very early. So a man that's always in the know, this Monday podcast just might be perfect for you. Did you have the kind of weekend that you were expecting?
Well, I don't think any of us really knew what to expect here in week seven with all the buys, all the late injuries to Darren Waller and all that. But I'm surviving. I'm still alive to fight another day.
I really, really like that attitude, just like the NFL displayed this weekend. And one of my favorite aspects of the NFL is the next man up. I'm sure you utilize some next man up in your lineup to take a nice run. You know, Fetch, I looked at the top 10, and this is certainly not a comprehensive. It was just a glance. But, we've got some new faces in the top 10 this week. We have two very familiar players that league-wide, and I went fairly deep into the our leaderboard. And if you haven't checked the leaderboard at KFFSC.com, you use your drop down and click right on leaderboard, and it has all 720 main event teams listed. And I went down, didn't see too many 200 point performances, but I did see two that propelled teams into the top 10. Two very familiar names, Justin McCord, When I Move, You Move, and Double M's. No, he's not Double M's. He's Mike Mattingly, nevertheless, is Double M's. He's playing at the number 10 position. And so I wanted to give congratulations to those guys. What's your best rated team, Fetch?
Like 45.
Yeah, and you go deep down. You almost have to hit triple digits before you can begin to even separate, the top 10 and potential from guys that are filling up the top 100. So Jeff Schmitz out of Minnesota, fierce. He's back in the number one position. And I look at his roster, Fetch, when you go back to the draft, people say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to worry about bye weeks. I'm just going to draft my team, and I'll figure it out as it goes along. And that's a strategy, and I can't complain about it nor find any fault with it. But I look at Fierce's team, who started D'Ernest Johnson, so there's obviously a waiver wire pickup. But he got 50 points from three players, and I know he had to draft them. At least I think he had to draft them. Russell Gage, Drake, Kenyon Drake with the Raiders, and Van Jefferson with the Rams. Over 50 points from players that when he needed them to step up, they certainly did.
Yeah, I think that was the theme of the week. And looking at the leaderboard, man, going after Cooper Kupp seems to have paid dividends for many players. Just all top five teams have Cooper Kupp rostered.
Stacy Perez and I drafted a team together in the FFPC this year, and we came down to a decision in the third round: Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods. Did we take someone else at that third round spot and come right around the turn and take Robert Woods? And we decided to go with Robert Woods because we just thought he was the more explosive player. Traditionally, he has been. I think what we're seeing now is a Cooper Kupp that is healthy, locked into his quarterback, and is obviously the first choice. But there's a lot to go around in the Rams. Robert Woods, or as the hipsters are referring to him now, Bobby Trees, is having a very good year. Higbee had a marvelous game against the Detroit Lions, and it took all those guys to beat Detroit, didn't it, Fetch?
It did. It took every set. I mean, they were throwing the kit caboodle, the onside kick,
Yep.
He might bite kneecaps, but he really wanted to win that game for
well,
sure.
He's doing everything he can to win it. You know, the players got to love this guy. I've loved this guy from day one. And he's untraditional, and the media, you know, media got on him when he told his quarterback that he needed to step up. But I think his quarterback did step up this week. You know, congratulations to all of you that held strong with both the Detroit running backs, especially Swift. And then the little receiver that is emerging there, fetch number 11.
Raymond Cliff?
This is a player that I didn't think physically could play the position at the level he's playing it. He did very, very well yesterday, and I was wrong on him. And those of you that have rostered him and played him against a tough Rams defense, congratulations. It might have been – you might have had to play him due to attrition through free agency, but, you know, you had to get him on your team, so good for you. You know, I looked at Frying Pan Inc., who has settled in at number 3, our returning champions, Petri and Larson, doing well against all fantasy football formats. I think they're still top 10 in the FFPC as well. They have a roster, as we talk about how do you handle bye weeks. And I don't think this was just a lucky situation. I looked at their roster. It was a fully drafted lineup. There's not one free agent in that lineup this week. They had to draft all those guys. So good for them as they plan for week 7.
And they really utilized the stack. I know you've brought up that concept with Lamar Jackson, Hollywood Brown. Mark Andrews wasn't as profitable this week, but has had so many profitable weeks in the past. That's what puts them in the top 5.
You got to really feel that they were doing everything they could. Andrews is a reflection of the team yesterday. So Andrews was in the routes off and Lamar couldn't get the ball to him. And he caught passes early and you begin to think, oh man, this is going to be another great Andrews day. And Cincinnati with their talented defense that we've talked about before was able to shut down some of those passing lanes and frustrate Lamar, a team that as we look ahead to week 8, and we'll talk more about this soon, but as we look ahead to week 8, there are two teams going on bye, one that very much needs to go on bye, that's the Baltimore Ravens, and that will affect many of our fantasy players, and a team that has to be convoluted in their decision or in their schedule about going on bye is the Las Vegas Raiders. From a good standpoint, they give time for their team to heal. It looks like Jacobs and Waller are suffering. From a bad standpoint, the Raiders got something going. They got a little mojo going in the desert out there, and you would like to see them return to the field as soon as possible. You know, Fetch, Justin McCord, who we intimately know in all his aspects of what he loves about fantasy football, he does not and has not been a proponent of Mike Evans. When you talk to Justin about Mike Evans, he'll tell you Mike Evans is overdrafted at any number. And, of course, Justin's just making hyperbole there. But he's not a big Evans fan. He was yesterday as Brady and Evans played pitch and catch against Chicago on his way to 3 touchdowns, a 30-point performance. That's what got Justin over 200 this week. Justin, I think, is in the top 5. Is
he's 4th, and, yeah, he had a couple big – he's got Lenny Fournette, who has been very solid. He has Christian Kirk and Terry McLaurin, who are very up-and-down guys, but had a good week. The funny thing about the Mike Evans thing is I talked to him. He drafted that team on Sunday, and he didn't like Evans, didn't want Evans. And it came all the way to the 5th round. He said, I got to take Evans.
Yep. That's exactly what I expected to happen. And Evans was a 5th round pick available on Sunday and continued to be available in Las Vegas. But, you know, that was pushed down by the tight end. So I was surprised at KFFSC, where you got to start 3 receivers, that you could be getting one of those 3, and Mike Evans in the 5th round was pretty fantastic. Hillard Newsom, we can't talk about Hillard enough. The the retired Marine, in his first year with us. He came to Cincinnati. He drafted one team. He had such a blast that he called me and he says, I'm all in. I'm all in. He signed up for five teams in Louisville. He added a couple after he got here when we had some openings and the schedule developed. Hiller Newsom in his first year in the top five. And I think he's got someone. It might be Jameis. Playing tonight.
He's got the Saints defense, which as long as they go positive, he will be our leader after 7 weeks.
And what are you saying as long as it goes positive? You think he'll have enough points from the Saints to kick Hillard all the way up to number one spot?
Yeah, he's Kentucky Moonshiners, correct?
No, sir. Oh, Hillard is Death Dealers.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the wrong team. Yes, he does.
All right. You know, we don't have pre-production moving into these, so, you know, you're doing just fine. Well, let's go ahead.
He does have Jameis, though, and with a nice night from Jameis, he could definitely move into the top five.
Yeah, so, you take – you're just talking the Moonshiners. That's our gentleman, Tim Allen. Tim, we've spoken about before, one team last year, one division victory. He came in for three or four teams this year. He's enjoying it very, very much, as anyone would enjoy success. And you say he'll unseat Fierce and Jeff Schmidt with the number one position?
With just 1 point from the Saints tonight, he'll do that. Well, so I got to believe that happens.
Well, congratulations, Brother Allen. Let's talk about Double M's, the team. You know, no one has done more for the KFFSC and does it as quietly as Mike Mattingly. Those of you that get invoices, they're generated from Mike. And, you know, if you're getting an invoice, check with us. You know, there's nothing more spooky than a negative balance on your fantasy football team as we move into October. But, you know, everybody's talked to me. And so anyone that's got those balances, they're there for a reason. But, yeah, if you haven't talked to me about those in a while, check in with me. Mike does tremendous work for us in that regard and keeps us what you might call fully functionally in line with our protocols is how we've got to handle business. And he handled business on draft day. And what I like about his team, I especially like it more after looking at the game last night between the Niners and the Colts, where I walked away with a new and improved appreciation of wide receiver Samuel for the Niners. But Double M's, Cooper Kupp, McLaurin, who you spoke of earlier, who I think's in looking at a wonderful season, the aforementioned Samuel, and then a player that's going to make some moves, Corey Davis, who is in midseason form and obviously the number one receiving target on a Jets team that is humble, hardworking, and in need of a standout player on offense.
I tell you the thing that sticks out to me about Mike's team is, and I know this is a guy that he was really high on, especially when he got him on that last week and a lot in the second round as you know, information was going on with Colts injuries, but he got Jonathan Taylor a lot in the second round, and he is in 10th place with no one higher. None of the other top 10 teams having Jonathan Taylor. So I think that's got to give him hope. You know, the Cooper Kupp, he's matched with five other teams up there, but Jonathan Taylor's a guy that can kind of push him up the boards, and he doesn't have to worry about that big number helping the other top 10 players.
That's a very good point. You know, it's taken Taylor a while to get going. Fetch, no one knows the Indianapolis Colts as well as you do. Let's talk about their personnel a minute and what we can expect from Colts players moving forward, because I have Michael Pittman probably on 60% of my teams, and he is an every week part for me. When he did that for other people, and I was glad I penciled him in last night through the rain in San Francisco. Talk about Pittman, what you foresee about the running back position, and just who you could see to continue to be a fantasy contributor coming from the Colts.
Well, with the Colts, you basically have Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman are your every week starters. They rotate a lot of the other receivers. Last week with T.Y.'s health coming back, his only week he's played was week 6, and he did have a role in the offense, and I think that hurts the pass goals and the other role receivers. Carson Wentz, I think, going forward becomes more of a fantasy viable as those ankles get better. He scored a rushing touchdown last night. And again, if he can get his legs involved, that moves him into that low quarterback one, right at tight end two. And during these bye weeks, he could be very valuable with people. And also, Mo Alie-Cox found the end zone again last night. Again, if you're needing a bye week tight end, Mo Alie-Cox has a chance to get in the end zone almost every week.
If you're playing against FBI, don't look for Mo Alie-Cox. He'll not be available. Darren was drafting him back in 2019. Much to the aggravation of Petri, but Larson's patience has paid off beautifully. Paris Campbell is going to be out for a while, so when Hilton returns, I think he will go back to that pass catching role. You know, we've said it forever that Hilton owns the Houston Texans. A lot of people are claiming to own the Houston Texans, but Hilton's been owning them for years. He comes back for one game, and he does it against the Texans. So good for Hilton. You know, what do you expect? It's no secret that trade talks with Milton Mack and the rest of the league, and Chris Ballard, the GM up in Indianapolis. What do you expect to happen with Milton Mack?
Marlon Mack.
I do it whenever we talk about it. Milton Mack was in 1991 was a cornerback that was drafted by the New Orleans Saints, and a guy near and dear to my heart, excellent player that played for a lot of years for the Saints, and I've been calling Marlon Mack Milton ever since.
You know, I don't think a deal gets done, and the reason I don't think they'll get the value they want, and he's too important of a reserve player because he could fill in so well if something happened to Jonathan Taylor. But, I mean, we have these teams like San Francisco that just roll through guys, and every time they – Baltimore, another great example. And you got to think in San Francisco, at least those guys produce as the Eli got over 100 yards and a touchdown last night. And it just seems like the running
Miami. Back,
yes, the running back position is so devalued in the draft form and everything. I just don't think that it's worth a team giving anything other than maybe a 6th, 7th round pick. And I just don't think Ballard's going to give Mack away for that.
I think a deal gets done, but I think that if Ballard was smart, he'd listen to you, Fetch. Because I don't know if I'm general manager, you know, I'm putting together my best team to make a run. They went on the road and they won a game. And we understand right now, looking at everyone in the AFC, that anyone could win this division or win this conference. The AFC is up for grabs. And sure, you got to go through Buffalo and it's not going to be easy. But, hey, anybody can get on a run and get something done here. And if I'm going to have injuries like Baltimore and the 49ers and these other teams we're talking about, I want to have my Marlon Mack to play in the double-digit weeks in November and December and have him available for the playoffs. It certainly worked well with Tampa last year for Fournette. So I wouldn't make a deal, but I happen to think a deal gets done because it's just too much. There's just too much damn talk about it. How were you dealing on the waiver wire fetch? Were you, if you gave the trophy husband a waiver wire grade? Because I know you had to dig in there. I know you probably came in on Wednesday. You took the midterm and then you took the final on Saturday. How do you, Fetch?
In week 7, I would give myself a D. I just did
a D.
I went after Tyler Johnson a little bit. And
God, Fetch, that means you're going to have to repeat week 7.
I wish I could.
No, yeah, but that'd be awful.
Can't Can I
get yourself a D, Tyler Johnson?
We talk about next man up, and I really thought he would fill more of the Antonio Brown, which he was there for the snaps, and he looked at him some, but mm-hmm. Mike Evans was just such a part of that red zone offense that that I'm not the only one, so I can't say that other people didn't go after him, but he just
misery loves company.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think Tyler Johnson is a good long term a ball player for you to keep on your roster. And yes, it would have been an impressive play if they had met with a stronger foe. I think in sometimes when you go into waiver wire and you're looking for a plug and play player, you need a contested game for that player to step up. And you know, for instance, a Saturday night ad for me was Foster Moreau. Now, a lot of things were at play there. When you're playing in the FFPC and you look to replace a tight end, there's very little available. And you look into the situation, and being an SEC college football follower, you know, I'm familiar with this player, and I know he can catch the ball. But the bottom line comes that they like him. He hasn't played that much, but when he has played, he's done some things. There's a similar tight end over at Carolina, not in a good situation. The guy Treble played at Notre Dame. These are very, very good young players that are coming in the league. So Moreau was featured early in the passing game, and when he wasn't the featured receiver, he definitely was part of the progressions, and the Eagles put some pressure on the quarterback, consequently needed to drop that ball off to the tight end, and Moreau filled the bill. So that's probably my I can play fantasy football for a few more years, Fetch, and I'll never have a Saturday night waiver wire pickup quite as good
as that
as Moreau. And on the same team, I was able to add Tua, who was available everywhere, and I didn't expect the returns I got from him. But that was an impressive pickup. Now, surely you have a winning pickup to talk to us about from free agency.
I was able to pick Dearness Johnson up on a couple.
There you go.
And that Thursday seemed so long ago.
After
I forgot I was able to plug and play him on at least three teams. So that definitely, and no better example of next man up than what he did with that offensive line. And again, kind of shows you why would you trade for a Marlon Mack if you have somebody on a practice squad or deep on your bench that you know knows the offense, has been around since training camp, and it's just much easier for them to step in than bringing someone off a new team that has to learn a whole new system.
I've talked to fantasy players. I've also watched the media, and when you watch as much media as I do in football, you learn who's really sharp and who's really just talking. And some of the ones that are really just talking said, out of nowhere, Dearness Johnson. And I thought, what do you mean out of nowhere? He did the same damn thing last year when given the opportunity against Dallas in week four. The Browns put up 49 points and did a lot of it through the air, but he rushed for 95 yards when given the opportunity last year. And, he definitely – a rushing game is an attitude thing. And when you have a quarterback with a limited playbook of what he can do and a running back that's breaking tackles on an offensive line, the offensive line loves blocking for a running back. It's just so much more fun than pass protect. And we were running downhill all night with this player. So a lot of people talked to me and said, who is the better choice, Felton or Johnson? And they're both very good players. I thought that Felton.
I thought he looked good.
Oh,
I thought
he was excellent.
Just didn't have the opportunities because they
five touches and was fantastic. And I said, going forward throughout the season, Felton is probably your better choice. However, for Thursday night, it's probably Johnson. So it depends on what you need. But I think we've seen a shift because you can't return this player to the bench after that game with a zero workload. If you do, you're not a very good football coach. You know, you've got to figure out a way to get your best players on the field. And how long are we going to be how long are we going to have Case Keenum playing quarterback there in Cleveland?
It may be a while. I knows the system. And what an embarrassment of riches for that team as far as talent at the running back and all over. Cleveland is a very talented football team. I know they've had a lot of early draft picks, but they've done a good job in all specs. D'Ernest Johnson was an undrafted guy. So, I mean, they've just done a great job in talent evaluation. And that's the team. When we talk about the AFC, I think I texted you, who's good in the AFC? Well, you know what? Somebody gets hot, and Cleveland has that kind of talent, and maybe they need a Case Keenum to do what he did just a few years ago in Minnesota when people thought he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can come in, and he'll get better, and he'll do more. And, you know, having a little waiver wire success, I hope everyone experienced some, and I don't know if you can give yourself a D after you picked up D'Ernest Johnson. I think you're being a little hard on the trophy husband. But, you know, those of us who picked and played Donovan Peoples-Jones, which I think is a very good choice, and we'll have to see what his health will allow. But Peoples-Jones not active after going out for warm-ups and injuring himself in warm-ups. And we could have used some fine sideline reporting in that game. But, you know, unlike our podcast, Fetch, the Thursday Night Football has a lot of production. So they had to get all their pre-production stuff in, all their little commentary leading up to the game. It did not leave time to make the view or anyone else that Donovan Peoples-Jones wasn't going to play. So everybody that has a goose egg can thank the highly produced Thursday Night Football production and director of that one. So, you know, you can tell I'm still somewhat bitter. Something not to be bitter about, Fetch, and I want to go. Let's just roll it back to June, July, and August. In your teams, and there's many of them. Where did you normally fall on picking a quarterback? What was your strategy? What were you doing?
I almost always wait till double digit rounds, unless maybe a Dak or a Kyler dropped into that 8-9 slot. Or Lamar.
Brady or Rodgers were dropping into that 8-9 slot. They might not have been dropping. That might have been their permanent home.
Right. No, it was. Yes.
You know, so I'm looking at what's going on with quarterback now. You know, Patrick Mahomes, want to talk a little bit about that. He comes from a baseball family, and he plays the quarterback position like a shortstop play. And I wonder, you know, if you can't draw another analogy, I just think he's like a pitcher, like his father was a Major League Baseball pitcher. He's kind of like a guy who can't find the plate right now. And he's a little befuddled about what's going on with him. And he's throwing a lot of interceptions when he's not in the pocket. You know, he used to protect the football. He would either run, get rid of the ball, low risk pass, learn to fight another day. That's not what's happening now. You know, I'm a firm believer in the Super Bowl virus. If you lose it, you have a mojo on you for the next year. And it's not a good one. Your thoughts on Mahomes?
That's why you hate taking a quarterback up so high. I think of my 20 KFFSC teams. I have Patrick Mahomes once, and he was drafted in one of my classics back in you know, back in March or April, and I'm just more tendency to go with players I know then than I do later. So that's more apt when I take high quarterback. But I think what we found with Mahomes, two things. Teams have learned we just stay deep on him. We're not going to give him the big play. And two, if we can pressure him like the Bucs did in the Super Bowl, it just like a pitcher gets pressured in the playoffs or whatever, pressure makes you crack a little bit. And when you're not ahead, they're playing from behind because this defense, I don't think they had a stop in the first half yesterday against the Titans. You get behind.
Wow.
You start pressing and pressure, whether it's game pressure, whether it's physical pressure, it gets to you. And I think that's what happened. Now, don't get me wrong. Patrick Mahomes will come back. He will be better than ever at some point.
Sure.
But like anybody, he's got to get through these struggles, learn from it, be more patient, take what the defense gives you. And it's a learning process. He kind of skyrocketed those first couple years in the NFL. And this, it's everybody gets humbled at some point in the NFL. And I think that's what's happening right now.
I don't know. I think it takes a perfect alignment. Rodgers and Brady, it was absolutely wonderful to get them where you could get them. If you did not get them, you might have been fortunate enough to get Stafford. A lot of people between those players drafted Trey Lance, God forbid, Jalen Hurts, who has flashed.
Justin
who
Fields.
Else? Ryan Tannehill, who looks good doing it, but the points don't ever seem to stack up. You know, he as you said, Kansas City didn't stop Tennessee at all yesterday, and Tannehill even ran for a touchdown. But at the end of the day, Tannehill's looking at what 23-24 fantasy right. points. You right. know, right. It, and that looks to be about the best he's going to do. You know, it's and then you take a look at guys like the aforementioned two off the waiver wire. That's not an every week thing, but that's 30 points. Matt Ryan, who if is available on your waiver wire still, is a player that you need to examine when you look at the upcoming schedule for the Falcons. So it's some interesting things and hard to predict. It's hard to pass on Mahomes. It's hard to pass on Tyler Murray. It's hard to pass on Josh Allen. The fetch, you know, if you keep doing it, you'll just have to find that late single-digit, early double-digit quarterback that can take you there. Speaking of that, is Stafford going to continue in a game where he was challenged yesterday? Is he going to continue to keep putting up points? And would you think that a KFFSC champion or top finishing team will have Stafford as their number one quarterback?
I love the offense. It's all about passing right now. He's got great weapons. This emergence of Van Jefferson, I really think he could really take off the second half because he's just a little bit different than Woods and Kupp. Mm-hmm. And Higbee's being solid. And this is what Sean McVay wanted to do. It's the reason they traded for Stafford is so they could get this passing game going. And I think the injury to Cam Akers just made this even more of a passing offense.
We got some games coming up this week, full slate of games. We're not going to go over all of them, but let's start with Atlanta. Naturally, Pitts and Ridley are there to be impressive. I called him on Balky and I had a podcast. Balky got a big smile when I referred to Cordarrelle Patterson as oddly phenomenal, and that has continued. Atlanta is a 3-point favorite against the Carolina Panthers. Fetch. I'm ready to get Robbie Anderson off my roster just to try to find some player. It seems to be gravitating upwards, and there's very little I want to do with the Panthers outside of wide receiver more.
You could get away with playing Chuba Hubbard. He looks very talented, but other than that, yes. I mean, this team is in disarray. We were ready to crown them contenders after September. But in October, they're pretenders. And
the quarterback sees ghosts. He sees ghosts in October, Fetch. Kid needs a damn exorcism. He's having a hard time. After this last week's games, Cincinnati will travel to the Jets, and the Jets will have a new quarterback. We think it'll be Mike White from Western Kentucky, former Dallas Cowboy backup. Mike came in and threw two interceptions yesterday, but he also threw a touchdown pass. He'll get comfortable under center, and he can play. Anyone that's in business with Cincinnati, and man, you talk about a stack. That was an affordable stack. With Burrow in double digit rounds, this fake news that Chase could not catch the ball. Remember at the draft, and everybody's talking about how Chase could not catch the ball. The emergence of the tight end. If you got him in best ball, you have to be really, really thrilled about what's going on in Cincinnati. And then, you know, I mentioned it earlier. I think Corey Davis is the talent on this Jets team, and through lack of skill around him, he's going to get a lot of play. So for fantasy purposes, the Cincinnati Jets game, a very important one this coming weekend.
And how much, if I saw a few teams drop the Bengals defense thinking, going against the Ravens, thinking it'd be bad, and that they're going to be, so that's going to be a big waiver wire pickup. And, I think the Bengals are one of the few defenses now that you can feel pretty comfortable starting every week in our format because they have talent on that side of the ball.
I agree with you, but I want you to go back and look at that schedule. As much talent as Cincinnati has, they're still going to be scored. They're still going to be scored against because they've got some high power offenses that they're going to have to line up against. And they've been injury free so far. So that helps them.
Again, going against the Jets this week would be a very big eye popping thing if I saw them on free agency.
Oh man, yes. You would be happy to still have some of the free agent bucks that you'd have with you. And speaking of defenses, the Baltimore Ravens defense, we will punish you with a 15-point minus 15 points if you start a defense on the bye. The system will automatically charge you a negative 15. And still, you would have been better to start Baltimore yesterday. They were at negative 14. You know, that'll hurt your feelings, Fetch, you know, with a defense like that. To make things even worse, it's just been announced that Coach Nagy from Chicago Bears contracted COVID on his trip to Florida. Nothing going right for the Bears right now, and now they get the 49ers. What do you expect in that game, Fetch? More Debo, more Mitchell, and a 49er victory with the Bears? And then in regard to the Bears, you paid lots of money. You paid lots of money for the number one receiver. You paid 7th, 8th, and 9th round draft capital, I think, maybe as late as 11, for the number two receiver, Mooney. You've got Damian Williams back, but he's sharing time with Herbert. What are your fantasy answers for the Bears versus the Niners in week 8?
I'm benching. They have
you're no just passing. Going across the whole
just because I'm not sure what they're going to do. I mean, Herbert looks very good. Damian Williams is a good player. I felt like he said a little bit just because he was on that COVID list all the way to Saturday. So I think you're looking at a true timeshare there. The passing game does not look like it's viable at all. And you know the 49ers will get a pass rush with their defensive line. So, yes, there's got to be better options out there in the Bears. I mean, will one guy have a good game? I'm sure they will, but I can't tell you who it'll be.
I'm going to watch every game this coming weekend because I always do. But if I could only watch one, the one I would want to see is Tampa Bay traveling to New Orleans. Fetch. I think you could have a whole show breaking down this game. Let's talk a little bit about New Orleans tonight before we start talking about them next week. Your prediction on Callaway. We're coming out of the bye week. Callaway has been up and down. He is the Bitcoin of fantasy players. Like Bitcoin, is he going to shoot through and end up at $100,000 a coin? Is that what's going to happen? And for Marquez Callaway, is he going to end up playing the second half of the season?
I think he's going to be just like Bitcoin, because he's going to have a burst here tonight and next week against the Bucks, but then I think it may fall back on it down as Tre'Quan Smith, and possibly is he a good teammate? Mike Thomas going to come back, play with this team? And if he does, I think that's really going to cut into that. The biggest thing, I mean, you have to mention this when the Saints play the Bucks. I feel like Tom Brady got all those touchdowns to Mike Evans because he knows what's coming next week with the Saints. Mike Evans struggles. I mean, struggles heavily with Lattimore, the cornerback who just get. I mean, Mike Evans is a big physical guy, but there one cornerback in the league that can get up in him and really is Lattimore at the Saints, and he has just struggled like crazy. And again, we don't know if Brown will be back, but if Brown's back, and Godwin, you could see the Bucs going that way away from. It's when you have those divisional matchups, it's so much. They know each other so well. The Saints destroyed the Bucks both times in the regular season, and then the Bucks come back in the playoff. So, I mean, it's really according to the game plan, what these guys are going to do. It could be really fun in the Saints. And I could see the Saints beating the Bucks next week. I really could.
It's not impossible. I don't, but you know, they have the we'll see them coming out of the bye week. Any team that has Alvin Kamara on it can beat you at any time, especially when the strength of the Tampa Bay team is the first line of the pass rush. So I agree with that.
We love the Bucks. We do, and I'm telling you, you're a betting person. When the Bucks are at home, put the money on them. But it's been a different. You know, they let teams play with them on the road. They let teams hang around, whether it be the Patriots and a missed field goal, or even the Eagles, who they let get a 2-point and be within a touchdown late, maybe have a chance. Where they put the at home, that they turn that knife, put it in there, and they put you away at home. So it's definitely two different teams, the Bucs are right now, home versus road.
It will be interesting to see. We've talked to the trade deadline, November 2nd at 4 p.m. The future of Ronald Jones. I think he stays put for all the same reasons we mentioned as a general manager making decisions up in Indianapolis. But the difference in Tampa Bay is, man, they sure could use a veteran corner. They sure could use a veteran safety, some sort of presence on defense. And you could get that for Ronald Jones in the market. So that would be an interesting one to watch. And I don't look at the waiver wires in Kentucky very much until after the reports are done. But I did notice in Las Vegas that Ronald Jones was being dropped in some leagues. And I thought, man, how foolish that could be. Ronald Jones' story before this season is still to be. The phone starts ringing fast. That might mean we're going a little too long. Hey, two teams coming off by Dallas at Minnesota. Dallas, you're starting everybody. Would you see a reason to start Cousins against the Cowboys? When the season started, that was a date you circled that said Cousins will throw the ball against that defense. Not anymore, Fetch.
Obviously, the Dallas defense is much improved, but what we find with Cousins is that when he's in competitive games, that's when you want to play him. And I see this as a field goal type game, and the Cowboys can score. So Minnesota seems to kind of play with their competition.
Yes.
Like, you know, whatever level, that's what they're going to do.
Very good.
Because of that, I think that Cousins is a great play this week. Just don't throw at Diggs. Just throw away. And they have two good wide receivers. So you just go the opposite way, and I think you'll be fine.
I think that Fetch, you've done a great job with an early breakdown as to what we should be looking at in week eight. We're going to put week seven to bed tonight with a very entertaining matchup. I have great appreciation for you. I must talk to you about the fact that you have stepped up and chosen at least your first two teams for our Super Bowl Sunday weekend party and draft. Congratulations. I have a small announcement about that. We will be changing rooms. We will be moving to one of the rooms upstairs for our party, which really doesn't affect anything as to what kind of time we're going to have. We're just going to have it in a smaller space. However, it does say that for the party, we'll be putting a cap on it somewhere around 100 and 120 attendees. So if you plan on coming, please let me know, because I expect that we will, before we get to the weekend date, we'll have to shut down the event. Now, you know, a lot of people have history of where they want to watch the Super Bowl. They have friends that they go see every year. They have traditional Super Bowl parties. It doesn't mean that we can't accommodate you for the draft on Saturday. It just means that 120 is the max number of people that we can get in the room for the viewing party. So you can draft without coming to the party, and you can come to the party without drafting, unless you're Fetch. The trophy husband will be doing both. So let me hear from you on that. Fetch, any closing words?
No, just glad week seven's in bed. Look forward to the the last half of our regular season of fantasy football. It's going to be exciting. A lot of teams out there that are – I see a lot of really good point scorers that have 500 records in fantasy, and some really good records that don't have as many points. It's crazy, the flow in the week, the way points can be scored, and you're really never out of it.
Nope. The noted player, Ballin' While Broke, Bobby Sanger. Ballin' While Broke, The Rake, it's all in the stats. Those are
except Fenton, right? Isn't Fenton in last place?
No, and I don't be picking on Fenton. He's doing the great league work there, and Fenton has a team in the top 50. But my point is, in regards to Bobby Sangerman, Bobby Sangerman tells you, he says, every week is a new season. And that's the way you've got to approach fantasy football, especially in the KFFSC. Fetch, thanks for getting this one in on early Monday afternoon, and we'll look forward to trying to get to our third Monday in a row next week as we put week eight to bed. Thank you, buddy.
Let Jimmy know the bar will be open one of these nights.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Johnson, we're working on the bar. Kevin Williamson, we're working on having the bar open and getting Justin McCord in the house. We got some plans for November, and they're coming along nicely. Talk to you soon, guys.